So let's listen to God's word now. We're going to turn to the Bible. If you've got a Bible with you, which I hope you do have, if you could open your Bible to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 4, our reading will come from there this morning. Mark chapter 4. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that had gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word and accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that has been sown among us. Help us to hear it and respond to it today, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in interesting times. Lockdown is easing somewhat, but we see spikes taking place in different parts of the country, not just in England, but in Scotland as well. And it's just a reminder of the fragility of what we are going through. And of course, we are busy planning for the church to begin opening up again. But that is not without its difficulties. We know that the government are concerned about places of entertainment and places of worship as potentially being places that might lead to further infection. So we have to follow the guidelines and be very, very careful about what we do. But we also need to be positive. And the reality is, we are in just, the most extraordinary of times. And as a church, we have to respond to that as well as we can. I'm thankful that our vestry, our trustees, our leadership have worked really hard at trying to be positive in their response while trying to protect us and care for us as best we can. But the reality that we are experiencing is that what we're going through is going to be, it's going to be like this for some time. And those of us who long for things to go back to the way they were and the gatherings, the ways we gathered before this pandemic, I feel are going to be disappointed if you hold on to that too tightly. We are in extraordinary times and we have to be led in new ways, in fresh ways, in different directions. I've been thinking about this a lot over the last few weeks. If at the beginning of the year in January we'd said, right, we're taking our worship online and we're going to do all our meetings online, there would have been such resistance. It would have taken us years to get to the place of doing this stuff. We, in fact, we probably wouldn't have done it. We would have balked at the investment in time and effort and money that would be required to do it. And we might have questioned, well, what is the point? Why would we do it? But we've done it, as education has gone and done it as well, whether it's at schools or at universities. The transition, the change has happened. The leadership has come through really quickly in response to an emergency. So that's wonderful. There's a good upside to that. But there are some downsides as well. So we're in this situation where a lot of what we're doing online. And we, those who are digital, are able to access it. We want to try and help as many people as possible. We've got this little fund that has come from a charitable trust to help people get in line. If you know of people that might be that benefit from that, get in contact with me. I would love to be helping people to access this and also keep in touch with family and friends by digital means. So we have the capability to help several people to do that and do that really, really well. So that's a positive, but also there's a flip side to that. Some of us will have got used to meeting like this in the sense that we don't meet. We can stay at home. Some of you are still in your jammies, I imagine. Some of you are enjoying a nice cup of coffee, as I am. And it's very comfortable. So when we say to you, if we were to say to you, right, we're shutting all this down, we're no longer going to stream, you have to come to church on a Sunday. Some of us will say, rightly, for now, we're not coming because we're a little bit vulnerable, we're concerned about our health. Totally understandable, and that's the right way to respond to things. But the church is physical. We are together. We need one another. We need to be in relationship, both for the encouragement that that brings, and also for the sense of, well, do you know how when we're together, sometimes we rub each other up the wrong way? You see it best at Christmas, don't you? When family gathers and maybe Christmas, most rows, the most difficult time of year is Christmas dinner when people gather, and most domestic rows happen around Christmas time or the holiday season. And church is no different. We need to be together because we will rub each other up the wrong way. And that's part of growth and development and learning. How do we do relationship? Whereas if we're in our own homes, we don't have to engage with anyone. You know, we engage on a minimal level. And even if we go into a Zoom meeting, we can listen. We don't need to engage if we choose not to do that. So all the digital stuff that we're doing is great that we're able to do it and keep in contact with one another, but it is a facsimile of the real thing, of real fellowship, being together. And so we long for that day when we are able to be together. But my fear, and many church leaders' fear, is bringing people back from all of that. Now, Here's the thing that I've been thinking about this week as I've thought about this passage. You know, a lot, we were talking before we went into the pandemic about what our vision is going to be as a church. What is our vision for the future? What is it the Lord wants to do? And vision is such a powerful word. We know that Proverbs says, without vision, the people perish. And there's something powerful about that, a powerful vision, a powerful dream of what might be. And people are encouraged to have vision statements. I've spent many years going to leadership conferences, and churches will have vision days where they cast the vision for the coming year. But I find myself in a place, not completely rejecting that as a concept, but contemplating, what was the vision of Jesus as he led the disciples? What was his vision? How did he communicate his vision? And it's a powerful thought to realize how he communicated his purpose and his vision. If we look at the passage that we had this morning, when he tells the parable of the sower, a story that we all know, the bottom line is, Jesus is telling the disciples, be ready, because not everybody who receives the message, who hears the message, who listens to the message, is going to hear it. And some will be choked by the cares of the world. Some people will just not grasp it. Some people will not understand it. Some people will be distracted by the things that are around them. But some people will get it. So he's warning the disciples, this is what it will look like when you go out into the world to tell people the gospel. So we shouldn't be surprised by people's responses. Jesus told us this is how it would be. But what I really noticed this week is the way that Jesus tells people to listen. Did you see that? Listen. And there's an imperative in there. You've got to listen to this. I've got something really important to tell you. Listen. And then later, he repeats that emphasis. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. So we live in a world where the visual is really important. Visual is important. We're doing that now. This is not a podcast, an audio broadcast. It's visual. You can see me. You can see the words on the screen. But Jesus emphasizes listening, the importance of that. And his vision casting is done through the word. He is described in the Bible as the word. He is the word of God, the word made flesh. So the word is really important. And I want to suggest this morning that hearing is just as important as vision. I'm reading a book at the moment. As a futurologist, a writer called Leonard Sweet, who I've admired for many years. I haven't read any of his books for a long time. About 20 years ago, I was avidly lapping them up. But I came across one of his books called Summoned to Lead earlier in the summer. And he's very, very strong. He looks at the story of Ernest Shackleton and derives some help from that. You know, Ernest Shackleton was the great polar explorer whose ship Endurance left London to go and explore the South Pole, and his ship got trapped. They left in 1914, just as World War I was breaking out, and they travelled to the South Pole, and they got trapped in the ice, and the ship ultimately was crushed. And they spent something like 15 months trapped on ice floes, with the ice floes breaking up around them, and eventually made a 700-mile trip across the sea to Elephant Island, and then he made another trip to South Georgia to try and get help at a whaling station. It's the most extraordinary trip, journey, and it's an epic story of survival. And the clue is in the title of his ship. The name of his ship was Endurance. And Endurance was a feature of Shackleton, who was a believer, who was a Christian, who inspired his people with lots of ideas about hearing and listening. He encouraged people to play music. They had two gramophones on the ship. They had the banjo. When the ship was sinking, they made sure, Shackleton made sure that that the banjo player had his banjo, because he realised that listening and singing together and singing songs together was going to be a key to their endurance and surviving the ordeal that lay ahead, being together and listening to one another. There was one of the men on the ship was a guy called Tom Crean, who comes from Kerry, County Kerry. There's a pub that's associated with him near Dingle. And Tom Crean was manned the tiller. He steered the ship. And Shackleton encouraged him to sing because he knew that listening, people would be encouraged by that and helped by that. So Sweet studies this and tries to bring out the power of hearing and listening, the importance of that. And here is the key thing for us maybe this morning. As we think about what Jesus says in this parable, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. It's significant that we have a choice to make. We have a choice to make to listen to what the Lord is saying from his word, listening to what John Stott called the double listening, didn't he? He called it listening to what God has said in the Bible and listening to what God is saying in the headlines in the newspaper, being aware of what is happening around us, that double listening. Another feature of this is the importance of listening to one another. There's a downside and an upside. If you think about the book of Job, for example, if you know the book of Job, Job begins with, Job has a terrible time. Just about everything and anything that could go wrong in Job's life happened to him. It was just a complete and utter disaster. You know, unimaginable suffering. And what happens at the beginning of Job chapter 2, is that three of his friends come along. And these three friends come and ultimately offer advice. And their advice is awful, because basically it comes down to the fact, all these terrible things have happened to you. This is what they say. All these terrible things have happened to you because you've done something wrong. And so their view of God is completely and utterly false. You know, that what is happening to Job is because it's Job's fault, is what they essentially say. So they get it wrong ultimately, but they do get some things right. Here's what they get right. They see someone who is suffering and they choose to come alongside them. Really important. Maybe you've got friends right now and who are suffering, and God's saying to you, you must find a way to get alongside them by phone or Zoom or even physically now, whilst maintaining social distancing. So important to have people willing and able to do that. We cannot do it for everybody that we know, but we can do it for a few. Each of us can take responsibility for that. That is us taking leadership, you know, responsibility. You see, we live in a culture and a time when we abdicate responsibility. Someone else's, you know, it's someone else's problem. But in Christian terms, a vision for the church is that each believer takes responsibility, that each of us takes the lead. And the primary way we can do that, I think, is by listening, hearing. He who has ears, let him hear. So the friends of Job come alongside Job to help. But here's the other interesting aspect of this. They arrive and they take 7 days and seven nights. Job 2. 7 days and seven nights before they say anything. 7 days, seven nights. And they don't say anything. So what they did was they listened to Job pouring his heart out. When I was younger, I was in a little theatre company that we toured around Scotland doing Christian drama. And we were pretty rubbish, really, but nobody else in Scotland was really doing it at the time. And we came up with these little sketches in between the main dramas that we were doing, and one of them was about Job. And we had this chap sitting on the middle of this stage, and he's going, oh, weeping and weeping, oh. And the three friends come together and they go, blah, 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 blah. And then Job looks at the audience congregation and goes, wah! Job's friends got it right. They went to him and they listened to him for 7 days and seven nights. Then they said the wrong thing. They didn't say the stuff that was true or helpful. But they took time to listen. Now, when people are struggling and people are in pain and people are in trouble, tendency can be to try and sort it out, to try and give an answer. And very often that's the case. Those of you who are married, the important thing is to listen to your partner, not always to try and sort it out, not always to get it right, but to be a listening ear. Same is true for anyone. We need to listen carefully, and particularly when people are in trouble, you know, when they're facing difficult circumstances. I was talking to a friend of mine a few weeks ago, and we were talking about when marriages break down, people who are involved in marriages ending, particularly if they've been abandoned or there's been adultery involved, they're at the victim end of that, if you like. Often what they need is good friends around them to listen time and time again. It's almost like you will become a broken record. People will become a broken record. But good friends will listen carefully to what is being said. So there is something in here about the importance of listening. Leadership is not just about vision. It's not just about, you know, here's dreaming a dream. Because often these dreams are coming from the world, you know. They're coming from, I've spent so much time at conferences that are fed by best business practice. You know, here's what works in business. Let's try and translate it into the church. And I've been to many, many conferences along those lines, and great speakers and great teaching, and it's all very exciting. But I've come to the realization that the church is not a business. It's only taken me 25 years to realize that. But the church is not a business. The church is the body of Christ. It is the bride of Christ. It is relational, with all the joys and all the pains that go with that. So we need to be well organized, but we mustn't simply try to operate as a business. That's not what God calls us to be. We are his beautiful bride, and the bride and the groom in a successful working marriage listen. So the Lord listens to us as we pray to him. He's careful and he cares for us. The bridegroom is listening to us constantly. The important thing for us is to be listening to him. He loves the church. I love my church. That's where the title of this series comes from. He loves the church and he is listening to us. The huge question for me and for you is, am I listening to him? Now, the Lord will be saying all sorts of things to us right now in the midst of this pandemic. the danger for us, one of the dangers for us, is we just turn in on ourselves and we focus on ourselves and our own needs. We need to have a bigger picture, bigger vision. We need to be listening to where the hurt and the pain is around us, how we might respond to that. I'm going to end with a word, a story, really, about a young man called Yusuf Karsh. He was a Canadian portrait photographer who spent 50 years taking pictures of some of the most famous people of the 20th century. The only picture he ever took of someone's back was of Pablo Casals in a small French abbey in 1954. He was setting up his equipment and Casals began playing some Bach on his cello. And Karsh was just so enthralled by the beauty of this that he almost forgot why he was there. And in that moment of music, Karsh caught the picture of a tiny, bald-headed man bent over his cello, frozen in time against the aged stone of the chapel wall. The portrait was on exhibition in the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. The curator noticed another bald-headed elderly man who came day after day and just stood silently in front of this picture for long periods of time. And finally, the curator went over to the old man and tapped him on the shoulder and asked him, "What are you doing?" And the old man turned with obvious irritation. He turned to the curator and said, "Shh, young man, can't you see I'm listening to the music?" Karsh, the photographer, heard Casal play Bach and caught the picture. The old man could hear the music by looking at the picture. I wonder what music people hear when they look at me and look at you. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. May the Lord help us, each of us, to give a lead, to be the lead instrument. It's not down to the people up front to be the lead instrument in making Jesus known. All of us have that role to play. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And may people hear from us with our lips, with our lives, the wonders of Jesus, of his saving grace and his mercy. May the Lord help you this week to be music to the ears of all those that you meet. Let's pray. And so, Father, we thank you for this wonderful word. Help us to be people who listen to those in need, listen to what's happening in the world, but above all, that we listen to you. And may we be people who see you in us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come to the end of our time together. We're going to sing one last song. Restore, O Lord, the honour of your name. In works of sovereign power, come shake the earth again. Let's sing together.